Welcome to episode 559 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 11 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." From their escape out of Egypt and throughout their history, the children of Israel rebelled against the Lord. Isaiah was one of many prophets used by God to document their apostasy and pronounce divine judgment. He also wrote of God's long-suffering patience, his loving kindness, and his never-failing tender mercy toward his errant people. Despite their rebellion, God continued to offer his people forgiveness and restoration if they would simply return to him and renounce their wicked ways. Through his messengers, he entreated the people to repent of their sins. Then and now, God desires an inner cleansing of the heart and mind. When Isaiah writes about reasoning together, this is a call to consider the rationality of righteousness. The people were not to reason with the Lord by defending their behavior and arguing their innocence. Rather, they were to admit that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. They were to admit that they were all like an unclean thing and all their righteousnesses like filthy rags. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It is rational to reject sin in favor of the life that is available to us only through a saving relationship with Christ. God does not compel us to obey him blindly. He invites us to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. When we think about God, we often think of him as loving, merciful, and gracious. Perhaps we might even think of him as righteous and holy. But how often do we think of his intellectual characteristics? God is omniscient, meaning that he's perfect in knowledge. He's also perfect in wisdom, and he's full of truth. He not only created our bodies and our emotions, he also created our minds in his image. Sin has affected all of our being, including the mind. The Apostle Paul told the church at Rome that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The mind of the flesh is death, because the mind of the flesh is hostility toward God. For it is not subject to the law of God, for not even can it be. But when the Spirit changes our minds, we are enabled to think as God would have us think. Today, many people in the church do not think the mind is all that important. All that matters, they say, is the heart. The only important thing, they say, is that you love Jesus. Certainly, it is true that we need to love Jesus. But it is only true if you love the right Jesus. A person will only be saved if they love the biblical Jesus. Christian faith involves both knowledge and trust. We cannot really trust what we do not know. This is why the Christian faith affirms the primacy of the mind. Our faith has intellectual content. God calls us to understand concepts like sin, the atonement, the resurrection, and the deity of Christ. We can say we love Jesus all we want, but salvation calls for more than that. John 8 verse 24, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Paul adds in Romans 10 verse 9, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." The mind is primary only in order. God must first go through the mind in order to get to our hearts. We must know some content in order for us to love rightly. Just knowing facts, however, is not enough. The devil perhaps could write a better systematic theology than any giant of Christianity, but yet will never come to Christ because he hates the things of God. We must also trust Christ with our hearts to be saved. This is why the Christian faith also speaks of the primacy of the heart. The heart is primary in importance. You can know all the facts about Christ, but yet be condemned because you do not love him. Knowing and loving the true Christ are both essential to salvation. But before we get to the heart, we need to have the right mind. A happy new you is one that has that right mind. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, Paul quotes Isaiah 40 verse 13 and then makes a statement concerning all believers. We have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ means sharing the plan, purpose, and perspective of Christ, and it is something that all believers possess. Having the mind of Christ means we understand God's plan in the world to bring glory to Himself, restore creation to its original splendor, and provide salvation for sinners. It means we identify with Christ's purpose to seek and to save what was lost. It means we share Jesus' perspective of humility and obedience, compassion, and prayerful dependence on God. In the verse leading up to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, we note some truths concerning the mind of Christ. 1. The mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. 2. The mind of Christ involves wisdom from God, once hidden but now revealed. 3. The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. 4. The mind of Christ cannot be understood by those without the Spirit. 5. The mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual things. In order to have the mind of Christ, one must first have saving faith in Christ. After salvation, the believer lives a life under God's influence. The Holy Spirit indwells and enlightens the believer, infusing him with wisdom. That is, the mind of Christ. The believer bears a responsibility to yield to the Spirit's leading and to allow the Spirit to transform and renew his or her mind. Paul says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The mind is the key to the Christian life. The reason why non-Christians do not respond to Christian truth is that they cannot discern spiritual truth. The gospel is a call for the unbeliever to repent of his or her sin and embrace Christ by faith. The Greek word translated repentance carries the notion of a change of mind. Our thinking must be changed, transformed from old, ungodly ways of thinking into new, godly ways of thinking. What we know in our minds to be true forms a conviction in our hearts of that truth, and that conviction in our hearts translates into action. Therefore, we must first renew our minds. The only way to replace the error of the world's way of thinking is to replace it with God's truth. And the only infallible source of God's truth is His revealed word, the Bible. Transformation through renewed minds comes as believers expose themselves to God's word through the faithful exposition of it each week in church, in personal Bible study, in group Bible study, in reflecting on devotional thoughts. A solid church that believes in preaching the word, reading the word, and singing the word is invaluable in helping us renew our minds. There are no shortcuts. There is no magical formula for renewing our minds. We must fill our minds with God's word. As Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Philippians 2 verse 5 is a call for our intellectual and spiritual transformation. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind that follows Christ produces a life that obeys Christ. Paul adds in Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. When we habitually focus our thoughts on Christ and things above through Bible study, meditation, and prayer, our minds are aided in the process of renewal. Father, we want the mind of Christ. Help us to have minds that will enable us to discern spiritual things and that will allow us to see things the way Christ does. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.